Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. If you take a trip without knowing where you're headed, how will you know when you get to your destination if you don't know where you're going? If you don't have a GPS or MapQuest instructions, you could end up driving around in circles. During the course of my life, I've taken dozens and dozens and maybe even over 100 taxi rides from airports to hotels or other destinations. On several of those trips, the taxi driver tried to take advantage of me by taking a longer route, one with the worst traffic, to run up his fare. Now, I was born at night, but not last night. I feel knowledgeable about my surroundings and where I'm headed. See, that's the way it is, spiritually speaking. You and I, we, should always keep focused on where we're headed.
Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 in the Message Bible. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blaze the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way.
What keeps us focused on where we're headed? Here are seven keys, and they're all found in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. First, all these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, people who believe in you, mentors, saints, who speak a word in season to you. Second, says better get on with it. Simply said, don't talk about it, do it. Third, start running and never quit. The only way we ever lose is if we quit, so we shouldn't. Fourth, keep our eyes on Jesus. This will assure us that we're always headed in the right direction. Fifth, study how he did it. Follow his lead, his example, his instructions. Sixth, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. And seventh, that exhilarating finish in and with God. Well, with that, we can put up with anything along the way. The Apostle Paul was a man with vast knowledge of the Word, one who saw signs and wonders following his travels, one who raised up disciples, one who endured extreme persecution. And he speaks of one thing that he did in Philippians 3:13.
Philippians 3, verse 13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before."
Paul was reaching out to new things, new opportunities, new places, new people. He was not living in the past. Now, if there was ever anyone who could have lived in the past, it was the Apostle Paul. But the scripture says that he left the past in the past, and he journeyed toward a new thing. I'd say that's pretty good advice for us.
Philippians 3:14 says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus."
If you want the prize, to hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Well, if we want to hear that, then we got to forget the past. Reach out to new things without looking back. In verse 14, the Message Bible says, "I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back." There's one other thing I feel led to share, and it concerns a quote by Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist, who once said, "It's better to say, this one thing I do, than to say, these 40 things I dabble in." A lot of truth in that. When we focus on where we're going, it dramatically increases the likelihood that we'll arrive at the right destination. Here are seven keys to focus on where we're headed. First, allow God to bring peace to you in the midst of life's adversities. Allow God to bring peace to you in the midst of life's adversities. When the storms of life are swirling around us and our families, we have to do as Jesus did. We have to speak to our circumstances.
Mark 4, verses 29 and 30. Mark 4, 29 and 30 in the Amplified Bible. Listen to this. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush now, be still, muzzled." And the wind ceased, sank to rest as if exhausted by its beating. And there was immediately a great calm, a perfect peacefulness. He said to them, "Why are you so timid and fearful? How is it that you have no faith, no firm, relying trust?"
When we speak the word of God to our circumstances, something supernatural takes place. Have you ever seen a TV show or a movie when the Air Force pilots, there's an alarm, an impending attack, and the pilots and their crew scramble because of this threat? See, that's the way your angels are, waiting to scramble on your behalf. Psalm 103:20.
In the King James Version, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word."
The scripture doesn't say his voice. It says his word. When we speak his word, the hosts of heaven are scrambled for battle and for provision and to minister on our behalf. Second, no weapon of any kind, financial or otherwise, can harm you.
We need to take comfort in the words and the promises of Isaiah 54:17. Isaiah 54, verse 17 in the Amplified Bible says it this way. "But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong."
Now, if you want to ignite your day, personalize the first 10 words of that verse, and it'll make you shout. No weapon that is formed against Brian shall prosper. No weapon that is formed against Brenda shall prosper. Hallelujah. Third, our heritage assures our victory. Our heritage assures our victory.
The remainder of Isaiah 54:17 in the Amplified Bible says, "This peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me. That is, this is that which I impart to their justification, says the Lord."
The word heritage is more properly translated as inheritance. Fourth, our needs are known in heaven. Can somebody say hallelujah? Our needs are known in heaven.
Matthew 6:8. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." This verse is confirmed 23 verses later in Matthew 6:32. Matthew 6:32 in the Living Bible says it this way. "So don't worry at all about having enough food and clothing. Why be like the heathen? For they take pride in all these things and are deeply concerned about them. But your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well that you need them."
It's one thing to have family members know what your needs are, to have your friends know. But just get a hold of this fact. Our Heavenly Father, the Master of the universe, the Creator of heaven and earth, he knows what your needs are. And he's thinking about you right now. Fifth, We have a hedge of protection around us. We have a hedge of protection around us.
Acts 20, verse 32. Acts 20, 32 in the Amplified Bible. And now, brethren, I commit to you to God. I deposit you in his charge, entrusting you to his protection and care. And I commend you to the word of his grace, to the commandments and counsels and promises of his unmerited favor. It is able to build you up and to give you your rightful inheritance among all God's set apart ones, those consecrated, purified, and transformed of soul.
Hallelujah. Well, this is a powerful verse. Psalm 91 is known as a hedge of protection chapter. We strongly encourage you to go to haroldherring.com. Click the button that reads personalized scriptures and personalize Psalm 91 for you. It'll make you shout. Not only will it make you shout, but it'll make the devil scream when you start confessing those words. Hallelujah. 6, your deliverance from bondage is coming. Your deliverance from bondage is coming.
Exodus 14, verse 13 in the Message Bible says, Moses spoke to the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm and watch God do his work of salvation for you today. Take a good look at the Egyptians today, for you're never going to see them again.
God is not a man that he should lie. If he has said that your deliverance is on the way, then it is. It's not a matter of if, but when. Expect your deliverance to be manifested in your life. 7, not only is the Lord with us, but he will never fail us.
2 Chronicles 20, verse 17. 2 Chronicles 20, 17. You will not have to fight this battle. Take your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Deuteronomy 31, 6 in the New Living Translation. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you.
Hallelujah. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles 20:17. That last sentence, our last two sentences. Do not, this is for you today. In fact, every day. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them. Whatever circumstances you're dealing with, go out to face them because you can know the Lord is with you. Wow. Ask the Lord if there was anything else I should write for this teaching. And he said, no. No, you're shared enough. Just tell my children to be doers of the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a word for somebody who will hear our voices today. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. The Lord will be with you. That's something good to personalize to. The Lord is. Hallelujah. The Lord is with Sean. The Lord is with you, Layla. I wish I had time to go through this, but as you know, it would take me probably a couple hours to do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is with you. Now that ought to make you shout. Hallelujah and amen. Couple of things. Stay with me. Go to haroldherring.com and you'll see a button that says Sunday Night Live. Double click that button and it'll take you to where we have our video library of the Sunday Night Live teachings, and also the outline that we use. And it's a very detailed outline, I might point out. But this past Sunday night, we taught 7 steps to becoming a conqueror. If you did not hear that live, I strongly encourage you to go there and to watch it, and to watch it. Particularly all of it, but the first 10 minutes of it were amazing. Check it out. Check it out. Also, if you've been blessed by the teaching, at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God, what seed did have you put in the ground? And while you're on the website, also check out the 10-minute video. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. And we're so blessed by your support. Bye-bye.